Good morning. You have tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and across from me is Jim. And we are joined this morning by Cammie Murray from the Kiniksu Land Trust, and we will be in conversation with her about an upcoming fundraiser coming up on the 5th, as well as all sorts of things going on over at Kiniksu Land Trust these days.
She didn't get the email we did for the color shirts we're wearing today.
Oh, yeah.
They're complimentary.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Cammie, why didn't you get one? Well, you're in the same color group.
Yeah,
isn't
we're the same color. I think we're very complimentary. And also, these are our new camp t-shirts. So.
Oh, here, get up close to the microphone so people can see it.
Yeah, yeah. Really close.
Okay. Yeah.
It's, I like them.
Yeah. It's a nice design.
Yeah, it's one I designed myself 3 years ago when we first did camp. So.
Well, gosh.
Perfect.
Even know I was giving you a compliment. Good job. It's nice. So we are here in the studio as we usually are. It's Thursday, May the 23rd, and this is the, second to last Thursday in May? Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Whoosh.
Yeah, going by fast.
Much too fast.
This is that week in between Lost in the 50s and Memorial Day weekend, which... I don't know if there's anything special about that week other than just the anticipation, because now summer has arrived. It's kind of kicked off, and now you're...
Usually Memorial Day weekend kicks off the summer.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to live in Billings, Montana, locals, and I considered myself a local, would talk about going into Yellowstone Park before Memorial Day or after Labor Day, but not in between. So it seems like Memorial Day kicks off the summer, and you have the Indianapolis, the Town 500 that's going to occur, the road race.
I didn't know that was... Is that always on Memorial Day weekend?
Always.
Okay.
Mm. Always. I attended twice when I was a kid growing up.
That's fun.
Really? In what years was this?
Let's not talk about it.
Okay, who won?
I could not tell you who won, but I can remember that my second year was the last years they permitted scaffolding on flatbed trucks. Because scaffolding was permitted, and when the race would start, people would stand up on this, and the scaffolding bin would be really high. And the last year that I was there, the scaffolding on one of the trucks collapsed, and I think two people were killed.
Oh,
you know, because everybody's leaning to see the cars coming around the first lap. And I was on the infield. It's a 2.5 mile track, and it's a ginormous infield, and you can't see much. I mean, everybody's at the two turn curves where the cars come out, and because that's where all the wrecks are, you know. And otherwise, but you know, you watch cars go around for whatever. But I was young then, and that was fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the scaffolding is outside the track. These are like
no. This was inside the track. Mm. You know, you pay for the seating along the regular track, and then on the inside, people can drive their pickup trucks, flatbed trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the last year that they pronounced. They no longer permit that because they're a danger.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
get up and whatever. But that's the Naptown 500 this weekend.
Do you have do you follow the racing at all, Jim?
No, I don't.
Me neither. I have no idea who's in it, who's favored.
I have a sister and a brother who watch it like NASCAR and things like. And I don't get it. But there's a lot of things in life I don't get, so it's okay.
Whoever called us, try again after 9 o'clock. We are here. This is live radio, so. We will be glad to
take
your call.
Maybe it was one of our fans.
Could be.
Maybe someone who also got the email about the color shirts to wear this morning.
Probably so. Yeah. Okay. I will tell you the weather. The upcoming forecast for Memorial Day weekend here in Sandpoint. Mostly sunny today. Today is the hot day, or the nice day. It's 73, mostly sunny, and just a little breezy. Northeast wind 5 to 8 miles
an hour. It's winding down.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's not blustery, I guess, as it has been. Mm-hmm. But a chance of showers before 8 a.m. tomorrow, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 8 and 11 tomorrow, and then thunderstorms and showers possible after 11 a.m. So I guess that the distinction there is that it's more likely in the morning, but it's possible all day. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. The high is about 63 degrees tomorrow, and the chance of showers is between 40 and 50%. Then a chance of showers on Friday night, or on Saturday, on Saturday and Saturday night, and then the high is down to 64. On Sunday, a high of 68, and then on Memorial Day, it does look like it's clearing up again, a high of 72.
What's the present temperature now, you said?
The present temperature is 54.
I feel that cold outside.
No.
No, well, when I did the weather for Democracy Now! The hour before us, it said it was 41. And I went outside across the street to Cedar Street Bistro to get a cup of coffee. And, boy, if that's 41, you know what I mean? I need sunscreen.
Well, the conditions are out at the airport. Mm. So you would think down here in town, it'd be a little warmer, right? Just based on the concrete.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that sort of blew me away. Let me do real quickly the weather forecast for Washington, D.C. area, because my sister and brother-in-law, due to modern technology, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY. And there in other words, we can be everywhere with you and your family and friends. Just tell them that they can stream us online or get Alexa to do all the heavy lifting. And the D.C. area, 62 degrees. Then she said at 8 a.m., a high of 87 expected. 87.
That's crazy.
Cloudy, possible thunderstorms. And you know, when it's 87, the humidity. Absolutely. So, Cammy, I understand an important thing happened last weekend for you.
Yeah, we bought our condo. So I know that there's a lot of talk about the housing market. We did not buy a house that was actually on the market. We did it before it went to market. But yeah, it was really exciting, you know, for a lot of us youngins, the possibility of homeownership seems a little remote. So that was really exciting. We were
it's a step, isn't it?
Excited about that. Yeah. So
Talk about that feeling. Is it a step towards permanence? Is it a step towards...
I think for us, a lot of it was that really fun sense that we weren't writing somebody else a check every month.
Your
we get
money
to write ourselves a check every
month. Money is working for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to write that big check to make sure you have a roof over your head when it's going to you having equity instead of somebody else's retirement.
That's so really when do you move in?
So we actually already live there. So the nice thing is that we bought where we were already living, so we don't have to move.
So, yeah. Wrap your mind around that. You bought where you were living, so part of the joy. It's not really new.
Yeah.
But congratulations. Yeah, so welcome really to permanency.
Yeah, so it was really fun. We were really excited about that.
That is congratulations, and I'm a little jealous, I would say. We were, Annie and I did a little math yesterday trying to figure out just ballpark what we've paid in rent since we've lived in Sandpoint. I'm not going to say what that number is, but we wept sitting there.
Pretty big down payment on a house.
I can remember my first house way back when. You know, it was a major step, you know, putting down a down payment and then that monthly. But over time, everything over time works to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, and we're lucky, too, in Idaho. We have great benefits for first-time homebuyers, too. The you know, because we only put 3% down. And so, it's you know, there's a lot of programs where you can put very little money down and still get a decent interest rate. So that's really nice.
That's terrific. And the interest rates are good?
The interest rates are good right now. Yeah, we pay about 4.3%, so
wonderful.
Could have been worse.
So how long is your mortgage?
Typical 30-year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
how old will you be in 30 years?
In 30 years, I will be 60, actually. I turned 30 this year. So.
OMG. and 30 years for you, Jack?
62,
okay.
I guess. That is 62... Not 60 also.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm 32.
In 30 years, I'll be 103.
Yes.
We have Cammy here with the Kinnicksu Land Trust to talk about an upcoming fundraiser that's going to occur on Wednesday, June 5th. It's about 2 weeks off. Do you want to fill the listeners in a little bit on Kinnicksu Land Trust before we go to the specific event?
So Kinnicksu Land Trust is, we're a community land trust. Well, we're not technically a community land trust, but we're a land trust. A lot of people are confused by what that means, but typically land trusts use a mechanism called conservation easements to help protect private property from development. So we work directly with landowners to help place an easement on their property. What that easement does is it transfers the development rights to KLT as the nonprofit. So we help construct a customized document for each landowner that talks about what kind of resource extraction they want to do, if they want to create a building envelope, really deals with every aspect of the property's management forever. And then at that point, the development rights transfer to KLT. And because we're a nonprofit whose goal is to do conservation, it means we won't build on that property. We won't allow for development, subdivision, any of that. So it means that it's protecting our wild places, our favorite, you know, places to go walk, protecting them forever. So we have about 26 conservation projects in Bonner, Boundary, and Sanders counties in Montana.
Does that mean with local landowners?
With local landowners. And so, of course, all this property remains privately owned. And I know that can be a big piece in our area. We're really proud to work with private landowners.
Let's. I'm not sure if I understood properly this. Did you understand it, Jack? But you're younger. You probably did.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It all makes sense.
Let's say Jack and I own 30 acres. Mm-hmm. Okay. We own 30 acres. Mm-hmm. Do we have a house on it, Jack?
Yeah, in this example, let's say we do have a house.
We do have a house on it, okay. Mm-hmm. And let's say it's located on Lightning Creek or Lightning Creek. You come up to us, and what do you tell us?
So we don't really come up to you. You come up to us.
Okay.
So you've decided we love this piece of property the way it is. We are, you know, love walking the trails we've created.
Okay.
And we want to make sure that our children or whoever might buy the property after we're gone, that they can do the same.
Or that they don't subdivide it and put things up on it.
Mm-hmm. So you would come to KLT and say, we want to make sure this place stays the way it is right now. Okay. And we would sit down and have a conversation with you about maybe the house isn't in super great shape and in the future you might want to tear it down and build a new home.
Okay.
Talking about where that could happen. Maybe there's some timber that might need to be harvested to keep the forest healthy.
Okay.
We talk about that. We talk about if there was any streams. And we would craft this customized agreement that says, well, we're creating a half-acre building envelope here, and we can
harvest. What does that mean?
So that talks about where a house or any future development could happen. We create a building envelope. And so we would talk about what that might look like, and then we would work with, you know, our legal you know, advice and your legal advice to craft this agreement. And there is usually a tax benefit for the landowner. There may also be some fees associated with doing that. And then we usually do want to create an endowment, a chunk of money that would go into our endowment that helps ensure that the property can be legally defended if anything were to happen down the road and people would try and contest that easement. So that's what we do. And so that's sort of how land trusts work across the country. KLT does some really cool stuff because we're pretty engaged in our community here, which isn't always the case. So like the Nature Conservancy is also technically a land trust. And some land trusts really are just working with agriculture or they're just working with timberlands. Mm-hmm. But we really are passionate about the idea that we can protect all the land we want, but if nobody sees the value in what we're doing, especially children, then it's not going to matter 50 years down the road because there will be no one to run Connect to Land Trust. So that's the big piece that I work on is reaching out to our community and especially with our children to get people excited about going outside and to do programs. So we run educational programs year round. Last year, we served about 760 unique kids in our service area, and that provided almost
quite a few, isn't it?
Yeah, almost 3,000 participant days that we did last year. So that's in school with local elementary schools, with Clark Fork High School, with Forest Bird Charter School. That's our after-school programs. And then we actually just completely filled 5 weeks of summer camp for this coming summer.
How exciting.
So, yeah, and then we do community outreach events. You know, we usually have a speaker at the Panada. We're going to show, I think, a film maybe in the early fall, and then all kinds of things.
Pine Street Woods, is that one of the easement projects?
So Pine Street Woods is a little bit different because that was a piece that KLT actually purchased. So typically with an easement property, it remains private property with the landowners, and we just manage and monitor their easement. We actually purchased Pine Street Woods that KLT owns, and so that will be our amazing new public access recreation space owned by KLT. So we're We're starting to get some of the first pieces done that we need to make it really easy to access. And we're hoping that by about the middle of summertime, we'll be able to have a big grand opening and get everybody out there to start checking out how amazing it is. Yeah.
I didn't know. So I knew that that was the case with the Kinnick Sioux Land Trust. So the other properties that you, I guess, manage or that are within the trust, you don't actually own them.
Nope, we don't own them. So yeah, I think.
Do you? I mean, will you ever? Like, when do they come to you eventually after a period of years?
It really depends on what the easement is, because it is not uncommon for the landowner to say, we want to maintain ownership, and then at the, you know, when we pass on, then the land trust will then own their property. It will be part of their will. But it's also super common that it's, you know, given to, you know, donated to, given to family members in wills. It can also be sold. We've recently been working through a couple of real estate transactions where a property with an easement on it is, the landowners are ready to move on to the next thing in their life. They're selling it. And so that's a big process too, is working with potential buyers of a property with easement on it. So yeah, it's a really fun and ever-changing landscape of we get to do.
So Jack, are you concerned about our children inheriting our 20 acres on Lightning Creek?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah. What if they don't want it? Is the other question. You know, or they don't want it, or their kids don't want it, or something like that. In the case that it is.
Yeah. But that's the good news, is that it's going to stay the way it is, no matter who owns it. Yeah. So that's
excellent.
The thing we love.
So we were talking about the Pine Street Woods, a piece of property that was purchased by Kinnick Sioux Land Trust, and we have a fundraiser coming up on Wednesday, June 5th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So June 5th is what we're calling our Take a Seat fundraiser, and that's primarily going to support our youth education programs, most of which will move up to Pine Street Woods starting this summer. This is the first year that we'll host summer camp up at Pine Street Woods, and then we're also really excited. Our road and our parking area are going to be big enough to turn around a school bus.
Go away.
Yeah, so we're within 15 minutes at Pine Street Woods.
Not if I'm driving that school bus. I'd need a Peria about four times that size.
Yeah, so we're about 15 minutes from 75% of the kids in Lake Monterey School District. So we're really excited to take field trips up there. It's going to be amazing. But on Wednesday, June 5th at 5:00, we're hosting our Take a Seat fundraiser. We've had a little couple questions about why we're saying take a seat. It's because all of our auction items are some really cool places to put your bottom in Bonner County. So we've got stuff like, we've got a flight from Quest in one of their Kodiaks. They've donated a scenic flight. We've got tickets from the Festival of Sandpoint. Lake Ponderay Cruises donated a cruise for two on the Shawnees. We have actually a really amazing ride along with Selkirk Fire for four people with a belay on their 178-foot ladder. So that's going to be really fun. You get to go with them on calls for, you know, a few hours one morning. We've got a dinner at Trinity, and then the one that I'm really excited about, I get to go pick it up tomorrow, is Schweitzer donated one of the chairs from Chair 6, so you'll have an opportunity.
Is that still a six-pack?
That's from Snow Ghost, the one they're tearing down.
Okay.
So yeah, they're doing some charity programs using those chairs, and those are the iconic blue double-seater chairs, and so one of those is going to be up for auction, and that is a one-of-a-kind piece of Schweitzer history if you're a skier, that there's not going to be a ton of them available right away. They're going to parcel them out, so this is one of your first chances to get your hands on one of those.
So this is not next Wednesday, 2 weeks,
yes.
June 5th, where and how can one get tickets?
So it's going to be at the Heartwood Center on Oak Street, the old Catholic church. It's at 5:00 p.m. You can get tickets on our website, which is www.kinnicksu.org. They are $25 a ticket, and that does include complimentary appetizers. We will have a cash bar. We are very excited. Matchwood Brewing is donating all the beer for our bar. So if you want to come try Matchwood's beers, I'm not sure how many different beers they're going to do, but we're going to have a couple. So Matchwood, beer from Matchwood, and a great cause. You can get tickets at kinnicksu.org, or you can call us at the office, 208-263-9471.
And can one get them at the door?
One can get them at the door, but for my sanity, if you can buy them online in advance, please do.
That would be terrific. One more time, where the funds being raised, where do they go to?
So yeah, the funds will all go to our youth education programs, which serve close to 1,000 students in Bonner County.
And during the summer or school year or year round?
All year round. All of our programs, yeah, we do in school, we do out of school, we do summer camp. So there's
okay, this is June 5th, a Wednesday at the Hartwood Center, a fundraiser, take a seat for youth education. Like that. And all sorts of auction items.
Yeah.
You had your hand up.
I probably did, yeah.
It's sort of like at an auction and where you...
And beer and wine, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it, yeah, at the Hartwood Center. Beer from Matchwood. Wine from Unknown.
Wine from... it's been sitting in our office, and I want to get rid of it.
Oh, that vintage.
Yeah.
It's decent wine, but I was just like, this is just all sitting here. I think we could do something with it.
Let's take a music break and then come back and talk about some of the other items that are on Kinnexu Land Trust's agenda coming up this summer. Then we'll repeat the information that we went. The song we're going to listen to is one that was, according to one source, recorded on this date in 1960, and it was the Everly Brothers' best-selling record here in the United States. See if you remember this one from 1960 on this date it was recorded. That is the Everly Brothers with their best-selling single here in the United States. That's Floyd Kramer on the piano, the famous Floyd Kramer. And the controversy over this is, as I was looking up, one of my sources said May 23rd was the date it was recorded on, and another one said March 19th, 1960. That's a whole month and more apart.
Yeah.
And not to say that the world is going to collapse, but what does one do in this age of misinformation and fake news and that sort of thing? I mean, if I really, you know, I'd call Phil and Don and say, hey, brothers. Hey, bro. You know, on what date did you record Kathy's Clown? I love that song because that's, I have a sister, younger sister named Kathy, but she spells it with a K. This is with a C. And so she said, that's not about me. But no, it's just sort of interesting about how here are two sources, so totally different, but I played it today because today is May 23rd, and I love the song. And I can remember first hearing it or when it was popular back in 1960. That was a while ago.
That was. That was a minute.
A year or two ago.
So that was possibly recorded on this date.
Possibly recorded on this date, but I think it's probably. This was their first record on Warner Brothers Records. They initially recorded on Cadence. And if you have any Everly Brothers music, whether it be 45s or 33 and a thirds, on Cadence, treasure them, because my understanding is that the Cadence Empire burnt down, and a lot of their original tapes and vinyl. So if you have any Everly Brothers on Cadence, you've got treasures there. But this is their first one on Warner Brothers.
Okay.
A little bit of history there. I put everybody to sleep this morning. Pour yourself another cup of coffee. We're here with Cammy Murray, and she is talking about Kinnexu Land Trust, an upcoming fundraiser. And we'll go back to that information. What else is happening with the Kinnexu Land Trust that we need to know?
So tonight, actually.
Tonight.
We are going to be at the 219. At 219 First Avenue in Sandpoint. Out on the patio, there is an amazing band playing, Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs. They're from over in Montana, and they are just get on your feet, dance, music, little bluegrassy sound. And then the new Korean barbecue food truck is going to be serving food. And you'll be able to come support Kinnexu Land Trust. We've got beers from Pelican Brewing. And I will be down there to talk more about conservation easements, about our fundraisers, and we'll also do a little bit of a raffle for some great KLT swag, including a shirt very similar to the one I am wearing today. So that'll be really fun. It's from
what time?
6 to 9 at the 219. So just come down, have a beer, hang out, listen to some great music, have some good food. All things we all like to do.
The shirt. It's like a compass rose with northeast, south, and west, and then a pretty picture of some mountains and the lake. And
the lake.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, this one's got an otter on it because Dave, who is our camp leader, is his spirit animal is an otter. But our KLT general ones have a bull trout on them because that is how KLT first started, was protecting bull trout habitats.
What's your spirit animal?
An Arctic wolf.
Really? Where is that on the t-shirt?
I'm not cool enough to get my spirit animal on a t-shirt yet.
She hasn't been around long enough yet to have her spirit animal. Okay, that is tonight at the 219 Club.
219, yep.
6 to 9?
6 to 9, yeah. Just come on down. Don't just show up.
And where in Montana? Do you happen to know Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs
I'm
are from?
I'm not sure which specific
area
they're
from.
It is a big state, and I'm not sure if they're... I'm not sure where they're from, but from what I've heard, they played at the 219 for their dark beer night on winter solstice in December last year, and everyone really loved them, and I think they'll be back again for that event in this coming December, but they're really fantastic, and they're very busy. They're hard to get, so this is a big deal that they're going to be playing tonight. So
and that's
really
a great venue, thanks to Mel and what the work he's done at 219. Mm-hmm. That is tonight, 6 tonight, and the Korean food truck is going to... Kimchi, time for some kimchi.
I haven't tried the Korean food truck yet, but I hear good things.
I haven't either. I'm really excited to test that out. And then what else we have coming up? We also have a Bio Blitz happening the 7th and 8th of June.
Okay. That's when our fundraiser is.
Yeah. So fortunately,
so you're going to cancel that?
Well, I think you can do it all. I think it's doable. Okay. So BioBlitzes are really fun. It's you take 24-hour period and you do a survey of the biodiversity on a given piece of property. So it's really fun. You have plant experts. We have, we're going to talk about mammals, plants, mushrooms, and fungi. We're going to talk about insects and invertebrates. We have a bat expert coming. She's going to do some mist netting.
Oh, what fun.
And then we'll do a bird walk super early in the morning on Saturday morning at about 5 a.m. And we've got some local birding experts who are going to come lead that. And it's really fun. And so that's going to take place out at the what is now known as the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center, which is owned by the U of I. And that's the property basically
on
North Boyer, right across from the turn for Schweitzer. So that's going to be really fun. You can also sign up for that on our website, which is www.kinixu.org. And this whole schedule is available there. As part of that, we're hosting a couple of mammal mini camps for kids. So if you want to get your kids out, give them a, you know, something to do for a couple hours on either Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. Dave, who's our education director, will be talking to kids about mammals. He's got a really cool collection of mammal feet and skulls and stuff like that. So talking a little bit about mammal biology and how to do some tracking, which is really fun. I always wish that I was a kid who was young enough to take Dave's programs because they're really awesome. So.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is mammal poop. That's how we know that the moose has been in our yard. they leave behind, and I just marvel at that. Now, this is for ages 7 to 12. Boy, is that a perfect age, too. So this is the 7th and 8th, a Friday and a Saturday. How much during the day?
So on Friday, we're going to do it from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock, so just 2 hours. And then on Saturday morning from 9 to 11. So you've got a couple options there.
This is out on Boyer Avenue?
Out on Boyer, at the U of I's.
And what do the parents do, let's say, if they have an 8-year-old? Do they stay with and can learn if they order?
Yeah.
Drop the kid off and go catch a movie.
Yeah, if they want to stay and learn, we're always happy to have that. We're going to have a bunch of other surveys going on at the same time. So maybe your kids want to learn about mammals, but you're curious about plants and a little bit about what's out on the property. It's an amazing center. They've got gorgeous garden beds and an orchard. And so maybe you're just kind of curious about what's happening at that new U of I property. So you can stick around and hang out. It's going to be it's a fun event. It's a great way to learn more about the environment in our local area.
And a great way to kick off the summer, I would think.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have good weather. It's graduation weekend.
That's
it'll
your
rain.
Field, Jack.
Yeah, that's correct.
We're going to hold you responsible, Jackson.
My prediction is not... Well, lost in the 50s, it usually rains.
And it did. But we needed it.
Right.
We needed it.
I don't think it can possibly rain on graduation weekend and... Memorial Day weekend and Lost in the 50s weekend. That would not be fair. You can't get all three. You can only get two. So as long as it rains this weekend.
Jack, whoever said that weather was fair.
I think you've got a big assumption there. But we do have one more little thing going on, too. We, as part of our Pine Street Woods fundraising campaign, were donated some seats on one of Middle Fork River Tour's river trips. And so we've actually got some seats still available. If you make a $3,000 donation to Kinixu Land Trust, a portion of which is tax deductible, you can join this trip. It's actually the Labor Day trip on the Middle Fork.
On what river?
The Middle Fork of the Salmon.
Salmon River.
Mm-hmm, yep. With Middle Fork River Tours is a local outfitter. It's Clint and Molly Frank own that business. And their trips are incredible. They do gourmet Dutch oven cooking. They're super knowledgeable about their river. They pick up your tents and they take them down and set them up every day. So all you have to do is float the river, enjoy some white water or fishing, whatever's your bag. There's lots of great hiking that you can sort of do little stops. So those are available, and you can call our office if you want to chat about that program. Again, our office phone number is 208-263-9471.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And anything else happening that we should know about?
Well, stay tuned for more details on Pine Street Woods opening. Hopefully that's going to happen midsummer. It's going to be really fun to get out there and play.
Where is the development at right now at this point in time with the Pine Street Woods?
So right now we're having a lot of committee meetings to figure out exactly where, we will have a couple of structures up there to figure out exactly where those are going to go, to do trail planning, sign design. But we do have our road contractor lined up and ready to go, and so they're going to actually start the first week of June. The road construction is going to start get going, and so that's the first big piece, is getting all of that access put together, and we have to have that done before camp starts the third week of June. So that's the first big piece, and so we will have some structures that'll start construction probably at the end of the summer.
What sorts of structures are presently being talked about?
So right now we'll have a pit toilet of some sort, Forest Service style toilet. And then we will also have a recreation center that will be year-round, just a small building. But we are partnering with the Nordic Club to house a fleet of cross-country skis and snowshoes. And potentially some mountain bikes as well. So it'll be a great spot where not only can community members come up and rent a pair of skis and check out cross-country skiing, but we'll also have a whole fleet of kid sizes so that the schools can come up and do field trips and teach the kids how to cross-country ski. So we're really excited about that. It's going to be a fantastic addition to what we're doing up there. And there'll be a little room for, sitting and warming up if it's a cold day, having some hot chocolate. So we're really excited. And that's the first structure. And then hopefully down the road in a few years, we're looking at building a more classroom style education building that could be used more for events and stuff like that. But
can you refresh my memory? How large is Pine Street Woods?
So the parcel that we purchased is 160 acres.
We had a chunk.
It's a big chunk. We had an additional 20-acre parcel donated. That is the piece where actually Greta Segway, when you cross over Ravenwood and you walk, you keep going up into the woods. That whole parcel is called the Manning Buffer, and that was donated by an incredible gentleman, L.E. Krause. When he heard about the project, he gave us 20 acres. So in total with Sherwood Forest, which is still privately owned, it's about over 320 acres, which is actually about half the size of Central Park. So it's a big chunk of land we have up there for riding mountain bikes and taking walks.
So when you say Sherwood Acres is still privately owned, mm-hmm. but it's still publicly accessible?
Publicly accessible, yeah. Okay. So that is a piece that's one of our easement pieces. And that's a cool piece where the property owner decided that he wanted to allow public access on his land. So that's why we are also especially respectful when we use Sherwood Forest Trails, because that's an amazing privilege that we have, and we want to make sure we can keep using it.
Yeah. And so that, as a potential donor that Jim and I are with our parcel up on Lightning Creek.
Oh, yeah, but we're just a paltry 20 acres.
I know.
Let's increase it to 80.
Okay.
We're up to 80
but that's
now.
That's an option we have. We can either make it publicly accessible or say it's not,
I guess. Yeah, absolutely. So, that's your decision. And
the same would be with trails and improvements, I take it?
Yep.
You can you can build that in. I mean, you can say Kinnick-Sulantra's can do that or not do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're really excited about Pine Street Woods. It's going to be such a remarkable place to go play. I'm really excited because it's just a couple minutes from our house.
Absolutely. So, from your new house.
Yeah, from our new house. So, yeah.
Okay, one more time. On June 5th, yes. Wednesday, at the Heartwood Center at 5 o'clock, there is a fundraiser for youth education at Pine Street Woods.
Yes, there is. So, the theme is Take a Seat. We're going to have some great auction items for some of the best places to plop your butt in Sandpoint. You know, quest flights and cruises on the lake.
And a ski lift chair.
So yeah, come on over. The tickets are $25. You can get them on our website, www.kinnicksu.org. And that is K-A-N-I-K-S-U, in case you're curious. And so, yeah, get your tickets online. It will make my life a lot easier and make sure there is enough food. You can also call our office, 208-263-9471. And it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to have some fun, enjoy some good food, some good beer and wine, and support a really great cause.
Cammie, we want to thank you for coming in this morning. And I personally, and I'm sure Jack does too, want to thank you for the incredible work. I think, you know, when I hear about your programs, the Bio Blitz, 7 to 12-year-olds, you know, children love being outdoors, and they're fascinated by growing things. And a friend of mine just this past week, he was out morel mushroom hunting, and he sent me a picture of his 5-year-old daughter, Matilda, holding a garter snake. And she was just, she's got this look on her face like, what am I supposed to do with it? But I mean, she wasn't intimidated by it at all. So I just think getting children outdoors, nothing but good things can happen. Yeah. And want to thank you and Dave and the other people at Kinnick-Sue Land Trust for connecting people with the land.
Yeah, you know, it's really crucial. We all are, I think, are fortunate enough to have those great stories of the times our parents took us up in the woods as kids. I know that's my story. Is I, you know, my daycare provider, we just, she would throw us outside and go build a fort, you know, go
and come back on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, go eat some bugs, go get dirty. And I think that's so important for children. And so I'm so grateful that I get to be part of getting kids outside. And you know, the beauty is usually if you take kids outside and you say go play, That's exactly what they'll do. They're so excited.
They'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Cammie Murray, thank you so much. And come back again. And
yeah,
when there are new items. We're going
to
do a music break now. It was on this date, May 23rd, 1970, that the Grateful Dead made their first performance outside the United States. And I tracked down the playlist. They played in England. And this is a song that appears later on Working Man's Dead. And here is, it's not the version they played over in England, but it's the studio album version of Casey Jones. That, of course, is the Grateful Dead. Casey Jones off their Working Man Dead's album. This was a song that they played in this date, May 23rd, at the Hollywood Festival in Madeley, Newcastle under Lyme, Staffordshire.
Okay.
In England. I mean, they've got all those beautiful names with hyphens and whatever. But this is the first time the Grateful Dead, May 1970, that they played outside the United States.
And I want to, okay, so I'm a little surprised at that because they got, of course, they would still have been a relatively new band. But didn't they get started in 67?
67? They 67, 68, right around there. They performed at Woodstock, though you have not seen and nobody will probably ever see the footage because Jerry Garcia said it was one of our worst performances ever.
Ugh.
And well,
what a shame.
Well, if one attended back in those days a Dead concert, I attended three of them. They'd go on for 4 hours at least. In the first hour and a half, they were just seeing where they are. They'd be noodling, they'd be playing songs, and the first hour and a half was just warming up and whatever, and then they'd really kick it into high gear.
Yeah.
But this is their first time, and then of course after that they hit. There's so much. Box set Europe 1972. I think it has like 70 plus CDs in it.
Yeah.
That they.
I'm I missed the 60s, and my experience of the 60s is only historical, but I always picture the Dead as part of it, the Grateful Dead as a sort of a 60s band.
Right.
And I guess I'm just surprised. They were just probably mainly a regional phenomenon and then a nation. You know, they were within the United States until the 60s were over.
Well, it's not that the 60s were over. They were part of, they got sort of not lost, but primarily in San Francisco, that area, the music was so vibrant. Mm. You had Quicksilver Messenger Service. You had Jefferson Airplane, Big Brother and the Holding Company with Janis Joplin, the Sons of Champlain, on and on and on. And they were part of the overall fabric of the music culture in the mid to late 60s in San Francisco before it finally exported.
Yeah.
A great time musically, I think, for this country. Let's talk a little bit about upcoming events. I'll hit the Panada Theater starting tonight. They're going to be running two films, one in the Little Theater, one in the Main Theater. I would suggest that you go to panada.org to find out the times and the locations. But one is Storm Boy, that is family-friendly film starring Jeffrey Rush. And then the one that I'm going to be working tomorrow night, it's Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blache. She is a French woman who was involved in filmmaking in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and she did innovative things like close-ups and rather than just waves washing on the shore in early cinematography, she would do things with plots, with people, and then all of a sudden she disappeared. And so it's a movie about her contributions. It's a documentary. It's called Be Natural, a documentary about this incredible woman. The movie is narrated by Jodie Foster. And I'm really anxious. I did the trailer on Google, and it looks incredible. It's like a detective story. What happened to her? Where is she? Whatever. How did her life unfold? So.
Huh. Jodie Foster, do we know anything else, like where it came from or anything? Who directed it? I haven't heard of this. I've never heard of the person.
I think it's a woman director. I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. Jodie Foster, she's a Yale graduate, and she was in a French film I saw a while ago called Terms of Engagement, something like that, a World War I, where she had a walk-on part that was not credited. And she was speaking French just like, as if she was born French. Mm. And just delightful. So I'm not surprised that Jodie Foster has something to do with it, because she is very much committed not only to film, but women in film.
She sure is, yeah. We have Neighborhood Storytelling tonight. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but I think it's sort of a regular thing. Neighborhood Storytelling, come listen to your courageous friends and neighbors share the stories they've been working on during the Storytellers Workshop from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Matchwood Brewing. That's at 513 Oak Street. It is a monthly occurrence, so if you miss this one, you can catch another one. But why miss this one? It's tonight at 513 Oak Street. It doesn't, let's see, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. That could be interesting.
Oh, I can remember as a kid loving stories.
Yeah.
You know, that people would tell me, especially when I was in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, sitting around the campfire, and a person would get up and start telling a story. It was magical.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was filling in all the details and all the visuals.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what you'll hear. This is, okay, so if you are finished or haven't yet gone to the 219 for the Kinnick-Sue fundraiser, you can swing by Oak Street to check out the Neighborhood Storytelling extravaganza. It does sound cool.
It does. A lot going on
a Thursday night here.
Yeah, I mean, there's including Kinnick-Sue Land Trust's 219. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon in Sandpoint to have to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the 24th to the 26th, Sylvia at the Hartwood Center at 615 Oak Street, the Cade Prophet Memorial Productions presents A.R. Gurney's Sylvia, an award-winning Broadway comedy that is silly, sophisticated and occasionally salty. Boy, is that alliterate.
Mm-hmm.
Silly, sophisticated, salty. Okay, the show is at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. Sylvia is the story of Greg, a man of middle age who is looking for meaning in his life when he meets Sylvia, an exuberant and playful lab poodle mix in Central Park. All proceeds go to the Panhandle Animal Shelter. So that is the 24th through the 26th at the Heartwood Center. And it was going to say where you can get tickets, but it got cut off in the bottom. My copy got. So I would suggest you go to Sandpoint Online or call Panhandle Animal Shelter for where one can get tickets for Sylvia at the Heartwood Center this Friday through Sunday. It's a performance, and all the proceeds go to the Panhandle Animal Shelter.
Yeah. Is this, let me see here. I don't see it coming up next weekend either. I can't tell. That
no,
this
I,
might
I,
be the
I
only...
think this is a one-shot dealie, one-weekend dealie.
Okay, so you got, only a couple chances to see it, and it sounds pretty good. I wonder who plays the dog. Well,
the
anyway.
Lab poodle mix.
Yeah. Okay. We also have tonight all sorts of music. It's board painting night. Uncork paint at the Cedar Street Bridge for board painting night. Excuse me.
Take a sip of your drink.
Yes.
Well, does this mean board painting? If you're bored, you paint?
No, just the other kind of board.
B-O-A-R-D.
You got it.
I'm on top of it.
And everybody, I guess, gets a board, an 8x14 board, and then you can paint the nest of uncorked paint at the Cedar Street Bridge. There's music tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority, the Ron Keep... Keeper? Ron Kepper Jazz Trio. there is live music at Matchwood Brewing with Truck Mills. There is live music at where else?
This is Friday night.
Yeah, sorry.
We're talking
about... Did I skip ahead?
No. Mm-hmm. You didn't. People might assume mm-hmm. that it's Thursday. But
yeah.
The board painting night is tomorrow night. The brewery live music is tomorrow night. And the Idaho Poor Authority with Ron Kuiper Jazz Trio is tomorrow night. And also at The Hive tomorrow mm-hmm. night, the Evergreen Afro Dub Orchestra. The Hive and Dig Beats Productions welcome this talented group of musicians. Jack is dying on the other side of my table. Musicians from Spokane, Evergreen Afro Dub Orchestra is a 10-piece orchestra plus vocalist that plays Afrobeat music, which is a fun blend of traditional African and Caribbean rhythms and grooves with funk, rock, and jazz. Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8:30. Tickets can be purchased in advance live from thehive.com and at the door. That is tomorrow night. It sounds like the place is going to be full of music.
It does. Let's see. I was just looking up the tonight. I hate to jump around like this, but tonight
boing,
is
boing, boing.
Trivia takeover at the Pine Street, on Pine Street at the Ponderay Winery. Let's see here. And all I know is that it is free and open to the public, and I'm looking to find out more if we have who it is in the. In care of who's benefiting from it, and I can't tell. Whatever, it's some local nonprofit, as I understand it, and there will be trivia at the Ponderay Winery.
I try to remember one piece of trivia every week, hoping that one day I'll be asked, like, what was the last number one Beatles song here in the United States?
I would guess, wasn't it when they were doing the anthology in the 90s, did that one go to number one, Free as a Bird?
No, the last single.
Okay.
Like the last number one single in the United States. The Long and Winding Road.
Okay, sure. Sure. Yeah, I believe it. That makes sense, Jim.
The phone will probably ring off the hook. It'll mm-hmm. probably be Paul McCartney saying, no, mate.
I bet it's somebody telling me, no, yeah, I'm not going to answer that.
I wouldn't. We can put Paul McCartney on hold, darn it.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't have enough time. Call again at 9 o'clock and I'll...
Saturday morning.
Okay.
Sandpoint Farmers Market. Shop fresh produce, artisan goods, and enjoy live entertainment every Saturday in Farm and Park from 9 to till 1. It's just a great time to be out and to see friends and enjoy the atmosphere of Sandpoint Farmers Market.
Right. Hopefully that 80% chance of rain that we have on Saturday hasn't quite caught up with us yet at that point. Was it Friday or Saturday? I don't remember.
I think it's Friday is the big rain day.
Yeah, you're right.
Big rain day.
Okay, yeah. So only 50% chance on Saturday. We're fine. We have...
As he comes back from coughing.
Yeah. If you are walking around downtown, why not swing by the Granary Arts District for the local artist showcase? That is local music, dance, and theater from noon to 5 p.m. between Evans Brothers Coffee and Matchwood Brewing. That is to benefit the Music Bridges Border Cultural Enrichment and Exchange Program. Music Bridges Borders. That's what it is. Free and open to the public.
That is on Saturday. Also Saturday, IPA, the Idaho Poor Authority, 6-year anniversary party. Can you believe they've been there for 6 years?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
No way.
Holds its 6-year anniversary party featuring live music by John Fershey from 2 to 4 and Harold's IGA from 5 to 7. Complimentary appetizers will be served all day. Plus, there will be raffle prizes and silent auction items with proceeds going to the Bonner Community Food Bank, Debbie Love's organization, and boy, she and her staff do a bang-up job.
They sure do.
So that is Saturday at the IPA.
Okay, from 2 to 4. Not to be missed.
2 to 4 and 5 to 7.
Right, and 5 to 7. Okay. Wow, so it's like an all-day deal.
Yep.
Okay, very exciting.
You bet.
I like to do the weird one sometimes, at Uptown Bagels, which is just nearby.
Do they want
just
to be
nearby.
Called weird?
Well, okay. The restaurant
one,
is not
the
weird.
The unique.
But the event is a Super Smash Brothers tournament. This is, It is hosted by Smash Point Gaming and Ting Internet, 1:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. There are prizes to go along with it. All ages and skill levels are welcome. And let's see here. Super Smash Brothers. I'm guessing that's on the... Well, it's a Nintendo game, Jim. I don't know which of the Nintendo systems they will be using, but whatever.
That's a world I don't know of. We're getting close to 9 o'clock, and Bird,
we are.
Want to do a quick rundown tonight. Wood Songs at 7, 8, live from the Divide, and I think I'm going to come on live 9 o'clock tonight for the folk show.
And what will that be?
I'm thinking I'm going to still stick with Broadsides. There's a bunch of music that I haven't played on those CDs of unique artists whom some I have not heard of, so that ought to be fun.
Well, okay.
Absolutely, here on 88.5 KRFY. Want to thank you so much for tuning into the morning show. Next week at this time, our guest will be Jim Zuberbühler from the Long Bridge Swim.
Sweet. Okay. I haven't seen Jim in probably about a year since.
He's probably still coming back swimming.
Yeah. Okay. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, Pondere. Stay tuned for Bird Note and the Nautilus Eclectic Mix all day long after that here on your community radio station.